WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are celebrating the beginning of a Ravens season around here. Luke's going to be out in training camp doing it all. All of brought to you by our friends at Royal Farms, Real Fresh, Real Fast, and Chicken Palooza going on all month, this month and next month. And, of course, the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at Goodwill and Window Nation and the Restaurant Association of Maryland. 31 breweries and 31 crab cakes in 31 days beginning August 1st. We're starting the tour at Conrad Seafood right down here at Joppa Road, right in the neighborhood where WNST's been for the last 24 years. Tell you what, we've had a lot of great guests here this summer talking a lot of things. And we had the NBA and the finals. And I haven't had a basketball guest on in several months. And then this came to my desk. And I love talking with folks who played basketball at the Baltimore Civic Center as they tear it down and bring it back up again for the CIAA next year. And Bruce Springsteen, this guy did some dribbling there, did some coaching in the late 80s and 90s when I was a scribe at the Evening Sun running around the bowels of the Capitol Center. And he was trying to make the Pistons great and the Clippers great and a bunch of other places. Coach Don Chaney joins us. Coach, I don't want to call you player, but you're coach to me. And I know you're doing a good turn here medically in Baltimore. And so many times when I see the seniors out on the circuit doing things, there's medical things, the things that have happened in your real life that you want to share with people and warn people and make sure that they're still standing upright and look half as good as you do when they're half your age. Coach, a pleasure to have you on. Welcome to Baltimore.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Great to be here.
Well, we could talk basketball, and I want to talk, greatest game, and I want to talk Celtics and legend and all that. I put this picture up of Wes sort of backdooring Kareem in 71 the other day. I said it was the greatest picture ever taken at the Baltimore Civic Center. But you've had some trials and tribulations here, and you had an affliction that my wife has battled leukemia twice and has had two bone marrow transplants. So I know all about medical and hospitals and 155 nights in the hospital. And sometimes I can't even pronounce these things. Hereditary transthyretin amyloid cardiomyopathy, or ATTRCM, serious and overlooked type of amyloidosis that affects the heart. So tell me about heart and heart failure. You're still looking pretty good at 73, Coach.
Well, I'm trying to hang in there. I'm getting the right treatment, so things are going well. Well, just to give an idea, ATTRCM is a serious, under-recognized and under-diagnosed type of disease that affects the heart and is associated with heart failure. There are actually two types of ATTRCM, the wild type and the hereditary type. Hereditary ATTRCM occurs due to a genetic mutation that is passed down through relatives. And that's the scary part, because you may have this disease and have no symptoms, but you can still pass it on to a relative. And despite African-Americans and Black community members experiencing higher rates of heart disease than any other races or ethnic group in the U.S., heart failure caused by ATTRCM is often underdiagnosed in this population. ATTRCM gets worse over time, so a correct early diagnosis of ATTRCM is important so that patients and their doctors can work together to develop an appropriate management plan.
Now, when did you get diagnosed? And you say early detection. Where along the path did you find out about this? And I guess it probably scares everyone in your bloodline, right? Like everyone who's related to you now has to make sure that like breast cancer, make sure that they're getting a proper diagnosis and checked regularly, right?
Yes, it's very important. And with the hereditary type, you have to have genetic testing. And you mentioned family members. The most difficult part is getting your family members to take the time out to go and get tested and have this genetic testing to find out if they also carry this gene. And that's my most difficult task, is to get all of my family members to take time from their busy schedule to go out and get tested. But, with me, I had been experiencing frequent heart-related symptoms, for years, like fatigue, palpitations, shortness of breath. I was prescribed medication to help manage my palpitation, but it only made me feel worse.
How long did that happen? Like, was that after you played, when you were coaching? At what point did you find that you had an issue, but maybe not diagnosed properly?
Yeah. Well, looking back, for about 10 years, I had also suffered from carpal tunnel syndrome, which is numbness, tingling, and pain in the fingers, knee pain, swelling in my legs and ankles. And I just assumed these were all caused by my years of playing professional basketball. So my disease went undiagnosed for quite a while. And I spent a lot of time visiting maybe 5 or 6 doctors before they gave me the right and correct diagnosis.
So you learn about this, and I'll never forget, we're March 20th, 2014. I'm sitting over Johns Hopkins with my wife, and the doctor shuts the door and says, "You have leukemia, you have the worst kind of," and I only thing I knew about leukemia was Brian's song. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, literally, like you only know what you know. Right. When you get this diagnosis, was there anyone else that you knew that you could turn to and say, "Tell me about this. Tell me what the drugs do. Tell me what to expect here." Because I think the expectations, when you find out you're sick and you find out you're afflicted with something, you really, everything's murky, but you want to find the path that's going to bring you onto my show all these years later, Coach.
Exactly. And I had never heard of ATTRCM before my diagnosis. And I was diagnosed in 2019, and it caught me totally, completely off guard. So it was all new to me. And I found out later that there are a lot of doctors out there who are not very familiar with it. And they're not familiar with the fact that this particular disease affects African-Americans and Afro-Caribbean communities in a disproportionate way.
Well, I appreciate it. Now, you're doing an event here in Baltimore. I want to give a little bit of love. Anybody wants to find out more about this, there's going to be an event here. I'll be sharing this. He's pairing up with a local healthcare provider, Janae White, Gillis Memorial CDC, and Pfizer on Voices for the Heart. This is an education initiative to raise awareness of hereditary ATTR among community members here in Baltimore. And we're going to be giving you more information about that. I will make sure it's your heartsmessage.com. I am joined by Coach Don Chaney, played in the league a long time, shot the ball at a very, very high level. Coach, can you see if I share the screen with you right now? I'm not seeing you right real well right now, but I want to show this picture to my audience of Wes Unsell and Kareem on the court at the Baltimore Civic Center. Now, we called it the Royal Farms Arena before that, First Mariner Arena for a long time. This is from the 71 finals. And I said, if I could put this in 5D on my wall with, you know, do you have any memories of coming into Baltimore and playing Wes and the arena? Because by the time you got to the league, the Baltimore Bullets were a big deal and were coming on strong. And it wasn't long before they were down in Landover, Lanham, Largo, the Capitol Center, and broke my dad's heart. I always say Abe Poland destroyed my father taking the Bullets out of here. But my father loved coming down and watching everyone come through, the Knicks, the Celtics, Kareem. My dad loved basketball.
Yeah. Well, coming into Baltimore was a tough city. I mean, the fans really supported the team. They loved the team and they had good teams there. And we always dreaded coming in there because we knew we had to fight to get out of there. So they've always had a competitive team. And, you know, the good thing about professional basketball, you look forward to those competitors. And so we competed. And although we knew it was going to be a hard game and a tough game because they had tough players. And you mentioned Wes Unsell, tough guy. Tough big guy, and he created space underneath the basket. You had to give him some room.
The gentle giant, as we call him in Woodlawn here in Baltimore. You know, Coach, I see that red, white, and blue basketball behind you, that ABA ball, right?
Oh, okay.
So Terry Pluto is a longtime buddy of mine. He wrote in Baltimore 40 years ago. He's out in Cleveland. He wrote the great ABA book and very comedic. And all. Do you give me an ABA story all these years later? What's your best ABA story? Is it something about Bob Costas and his spirits or something?
Well, I love Bob Costas. We go back a long ways, but the number one story that everybody thinks about, because this guy, when you talk about the ABA, his name pops up all the time, the late Marvin Barnes. I mean, there are about a million stories out there, but what people they fail to understand that this guy was super talented, and had he put the emphasis into his talent, he would be right up there with the Jordans and guys like that, because he was one of those guys who would hang out, not do a whole lot at practice, didn't want to practice. And a lot of time, he spent a lot of time in court. And I remember this one time, he was in court, and I think he was away from practice for about 2 weeks, came in the day of and played that night and scored 34 points. So he had natural talents. He was just a special guy, but he was, a lot of times he was out of control.
Well, I mean, the old ABA stories. So what do you make of modern basketball? Where, and not on who's the better player. Could LeBron play with Wilt and Russ? Of course, I mean, all of that. But where the league is headed globally with players, with money, with talent moving around from place to place. I mean, it was probably hard enough for you to come in after the Bad Boys and try to figure out how to coach these guys, right?
Yeah, yeah, it was tough. But, you know, I coached the Bad Boys right before, by the way. I was in Detroit twice. But anyway, and I actually drafted Isaiah Thomas, Joe Dumars, and those guys. I was there during that time as an assistant. But to make a long story short, the game itself it has changed. You know, I'm an old school guy, so naturally I love old school basketball. But the talent level is unbelievable. The guys in the NBA are super talented. And I think the NBA sort of magnified this because they want the game to be entertainment. And that's what it is now. It's a game of entertainment. And it is. It's very entertaining. The game itself is a three-point game. It's either you take the three or you drive to the basket. I don't see a lot of strategy. Everybody plays basically the same way. But I enjoy the game. So for the most part, it's designed to entertain. And that's one of the reasons why the salaries are high. And the ratings are high because people sit down, they watch an entertaining game, and then the three-point shot is the key. And a lot of times in the past, if you had in the fourth quarter a six-point lead with a minute to go, you won the game. But that's not the case anymore. The three-point, these guys are such great talents. They make three-point shots for like making layups.
Did you know that the three-point was going to change the game the way it has, that earlier in your life and later in your life, it literally would be a different game than the game you played?
You know, it basically started in the ABA, and I said, well, this is not going to last. I really did. And I didn't think that particular shot, first of all, guys weren't making it that consistently. But I had no idea that they would develop that kind of talent and skill level to make that shot on a consistent basis. I had no idea it would play that big of a role in the game today.
I always saw the Globetrotters do it back in the day, and I wondered how they did it. That's where we are with Steph Curry, right? He would have been a hell of a Globetrotter back in the day.
Oh, fantastic. He would have been fantastic.
Coach Don Chaney here. Tell everybody again about your affliction and what they should do if they're having these problems that you were having, fatigue, shortness, all of these issues, especially as you get older. But this is something that can be diagnosed before, right? You don't have to have these symptoms to get diagnosed, especially if you're African-American or you're from a community where there's just a higher rate of having this disease.
Yeah, it's a very, first of all, it's a very rare, as I mentioned earlier, unrecognized disease. And if you're having unresolved problems, you know, and I think it's very important, you know, to know your family history, to the appropriate, to get the potential risk. If you're diagnosed with ATTR-CM, it's recommended that you receive genetic testing and counseling to identify if it's a wild type. That's the biggest thing. You got to identify if it's the wild type or the hereditary type. And this testing is also would help determine your family at risk. You know, so if you have the hereditary type, you know that it could be passed down to a family member. So genetic testing before after testing patients and their family members can understand, you know, it help you understand the potential steps to take. So in other words, if you know you are a candidate for hereditary ATTR-CM, get tested because it's very important. And not just affects you, but it also affects a family member because you can pass this disease down to maybe your children.
So, Coach, you come out onto the floor at the Astrodome in 68, right, for the game of the century, and you look at the basket and you look at that checkerboard roof that everybody lost fly by. Tell me that you were not at least a little bit eaten up about how you're going to make a shot in that dome the first time you saw it.
I was scared to death because it was totally unfamiliar territory for me. It was like playing in a deep hole. I mean, it was unbelievable, and you couldn't hear anything. I mentioned this before to several news media. I couldn't hear the basketball hit the floor as I was dribbling. That was totally unfamiliar for me. But it was a strange place. Fans went crazy. It was two great teams with two great players, Elvin Hayes and at the time Lou Alcindor. And it was just a fan. And both teams were undefeated. So, you know, the hype behind it was they hyped that game up 2 weeks before the game even started. And if the game, I mean, I heard about the game 30 years later, people always call about this particular game, but it was a great game. And I think the key was that so many people attended. It was a record for that. And it was first national televised game. And they had a lot of great things happening with that particular game.
Well, I know a Houston guy might not want to hear this, and maybe Kareem would appreciate this more, and certainly Bill Walton did, but I'm a big John Wooden guy, and John Wooden and I share the same birthday. So the fact that you were there on the floor in that game, playing all 40 minutes, it's a pleasure to have you on. I used to chase you around with a notebook back in the 80s and 90s when you came into the Capitol Center, and Jimmy Lynam's running around, Gene Shue, or Wes. Yeah. Wes was coaching the Bullets in those days. So big appreciation. Kevin Lockery, too. I want to give him a shout out because he always made me laugh.
He's a great friend, that guy. Good guy.
You know, all the players of, Clyde, all those guys of your generation were always really, really kind to me when, I meandered through in my day back in the day. So big appreciation when they offered you up to me, said you're doing some good things here in Baltimore for health and to help other people. It didn't shock me, and I appreciate your time today. Thanks for spending it. Time well spent talking some good old hoops with you.
Thank you very much.
Don Chaney joining us here. If you need more information on what's going on, go to yourheartsmessage.com to learn more about ATTR and how you can stay safe. We want to keep everybody safe out there. Big appreciation to our friends at Pfizer, everybody made that happen with Coach Don Chaney. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, getting the Orioles ready for maybe a pennant race, getting the Ravens ready for certainly a Super Bowl run. Luke's out at both places. We are BaltimorePositive.com.